Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from Andre Grief.
Good morning. I'm doing our third week of our Empower series, and next week will be our last week with Pastor Innocent Matepo, who's running a dynamic church. This church more than doubled in a year when he took over in Grahamstown. It's packed out, it's vibrant, it's full of students. So I encourage you, we got him out a second time just because of what he imparted into our church last year. So don't miss out on that. But today, I'm going to carry on the Empower series. And what's happened is, just before we did Empower series, we did a day where we spoke about who the Holy Spirit is. And one of the words to explain him is Ruach or Pneuma, that he's a breath of fresh air. And even as you are like this ship in life with sails, the only way to reach your destination is to have the breath of God breathed into your sails. And for some people, you might be sitting in a place where you feel your life stopped moving. And the best way to deal with that is to have God breathe into you. And we encourage you, open your life up to God's breath. And what's amazing, we saw people break through, have an encounter with God on that Sunday. And I can actually see some people sitting here who had supernatural encounters with God. And for me, it was amazing. Then we looked at we really kicked off the Empower series, and the first thing we looked at is how Jesus fulfilled three Jewish festivals, and how he fulfilled it in the New Testament, and then we encourage you to be people who have vision, to be people who see beyond the circumstances, and that God actually can, through his Spirit, give you supernatural sight. It's like you become a seer, and when you become somebody who sees further, you can actually oversee. You can become a leader in your world. Then last week, Graham spoke about spiritual gifts and how they actually help you lead, not only in your family life, but also in your business. And so if you haven't listened to those, you can go to viewchurch.co.za or just viewchurch table view on iTunes, and you can listen to that. But today, I want to quickly talk to you about three gifts God gives you, and then I want to focus on your spiritual gifts. But what we've been saying the whole time is that a lot of people have been close to the Holy Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit got a bad rap. It's like he got some ways where in the church people have either spoken about him badly or just done things that people have backed off. And that's probably the worst thing, because if we're like a ship with sails but with no wind, we are going nowhere. And we should never be closed to the work and a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So what happens is, in the church, I think we become terribly uninformed about who the Holy Spirit is and how he wants to work in our life. And so based on your experience or other people's experience, which really has been a man-made experience instead of just a God-breathed experience, you might have closed yourself off. And that's what happened in the Bible. It says in Acts 19:1-2, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took a road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So even in the Bible, there are people who actually hadn't had a revelation of who the Holy Spirit is. Of course, God wants to give you a gift. And today, I want to talk about the spiritual gifts he gives you. And on Father's Day, it's a good day to talk about gifts, because which dad's got some cool gifts? I got a ridiculous gift from our family. Got Marius, they got a cool gift. Cornell just got the gift of hot sauce from us. Congrats. But anyone else got a cool gift here? Hey? Over there, we got some cool gifts. So everyone really enjoys Father's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas. But who's got friends who's just not good gift givers? Hey? You just don't even open the present. You're not looking forward. They might be sitting next to you, so you don't want to put your hand up. Hey, you put your hand up. Hopefully, it's not your parents there, bro. Anyway, but But some people either don't know how to give gifts or they just haven't got the gift in certain areas. It was quite funny. We had a girl in our class. It was about grade 11, and she was doing home ec, and the home ec project for that day was to make a cake, and she made banana bread, and she brought it into class. So whenever we did tutor group or English together, Afrikaans together, she brought it, and she wanted the class to eat it. This was the worst banana bread I've ever had in my life. I'm a huge fan of banana bread, so I'm a banana bread connoisseur, like, you know what I mean? So when I tasted it, honestly, it was like so dead and so bland, and I realized this girl does not have the gift to make a banana bread. You know what I mean? I don't even know if she has the gift to cook. Hopefully this teacher is taking it seriously and is going to fail her. Anyway, but me and my friends made every effort that day to make sure every teacher that we had encountered that banana bread. And we said, sir, you need to have some of this banana bread, ma'am. And then we'd want them, and we did everything we could just so that teacher would eat it in front of us. We were messing around. So clearly she didn't have that gift. But my parents are sitting there. They have the spiritual gift of making lasagna. Listen, they can make great lasagna. And some of you guys, I can see your faces. Your parents do not have that gift. And you are just scraping through by the skin of your teeth. You know what I mean? Like, some of you are just like going to make it to heaven because you haven't got any lasagna just to be thankful for. Anyway, but I know I'm joking around about food and that, but I want to talk to you about some gifts and hopefully break some confusion in your life. And the first gift I want to tell you about is the gift that God wants to give you is eternal life. Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's pretty much the best gift you've ever been offered is eternal life. And if you never got offered this gift, you would have to pay for this gift. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So what sin costs is death. If you try to pay for your sin, you'd have to die and you'd spend eternity away from God. But Jesus comes and gives you the gift of eternal life, a really cool gift. Anyone agree? It's the best gift. You can do nothing to earn it. And once you've got it, you have to acknowledge that you could do nothing to get it. It's a free gift. You just have to acknowledge that you need it and accept it. And you might be sitting in this room, you've never accepted the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of your sins. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. So it's your faith to say, I need a Savior and I believe Jesus is the Savior. That's your faith. So it's by grace you get this gift, but through your faith you access it, you receive it. This is not from yourself. So you don't get this from yourself. It's a gift from God, but in yourself you see it and say, I want the gift. He's the best gift giver. So it's not like somebody who hasn't got the gift of making banana bread or hasn't got the, I know I'm getting distracted with that, but it's not somebody who's a bad giver. God is the best gift giver there is. So when he says, here's a gift for you, I promise you, when you open up your heart and say, I want it, you are going to be blessed. So the first gift is all about eternal life. And it's all about living forever on in heaven. And there's nothing you can do to receive it. But the next two gifts are all about life on earth. The next two gifts are not about heaven, but it's about you can't do anything to get eternal life. But the next two gifts, God wants you to do something with it in this life. And the first one is the Holy Spirit. The first one of those gifts. But the second gift is the Holy Spirit. This is a separate gift from salvation because Jesus has already paid for your sins. But then we see in Acts 1, 4 to 5, it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what we see is John baptized in water, and that's a picture of salvation. Because when we get water baptized, we're telling people that on the inside, I've been changed. I've given my heart to God, and I'm showing the world on the outside what's happened on my inside. I've washed away my old man. My sin is in my past. I am rising up in my new man in Christ. So water speaks about salvation, but the Holy Spirit is, of course, God pouring out his Spirit on you. And what's amazing is the Holy Spirit lives in you for you, but he comes on you for others. So it's a completely different reason than eternal life. Salvation is for eternal life, but the Holy Spirit on you is God gives you the benefit of what we need on this earth. It's an experience after salvation. It's a baptism of power. And who wants to have a powerful life? You know, I've seen it. I see people who have life and then life knocks them for a six. And they almost, all that enthusiasm and passion and vibrancy, it's almost like it's the wind has gone out of their sails. And then if you could just open your life up and let God breathe in, passion, power can come back into your life. I want to be a powerful husband. I want to be a powerful dad. I want to make godly decisions. I want to have insight. I want to have vision beyond the circumstances. I need words of knowledge. If my child is sick, I want to pray for them to be healed. I want a powerful life. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you have power. And that's an amazing thing. But today's topic is the third gift, which is spiritual gifts. A lot of people don't know much about this. And stats show that more than 80% of Christians have never discovered their spiritual gift. Come on, who wants to be a 20%er today? I thought they would give you, me. Anyway, hopefully we break it and we keep going. You know, it's, when we do the stats after View Church, it's 70%. But anyway, but 20% of people out there actually know their spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1 says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Have we got that up there? Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And we can leave it up there. But every time Paul wrote like this, he said it because they were ignorant. He wasn't going, you know, I don't want you to be. They were ignorant. So this was a nice saying, way of saying, you guys, you know about spiritual gifts, you're ignorant. And so many times we can be like those people Paul's speaking to. So today I want you to quickly open up your hearts and ears and go, I don't want to be ignorant about this. This is an awesome gift. It's a powerful gift. And if it's from God, then I want it. God is the ultimate gift giver. Why would he give me a gift to hurt me? Why would he? Why would any gift from God not be a good gift? So where does the confusion come in? Why do people sort of step away from spiritual gifts? Some say, and there's some teaching out there, that spiritual gifts had ceased once the last apostle was dead. And in a way, if that was true, then there would be no miracles. Who's experienced a miracle here in their life? Okay, cool. Now we've just dispelled that teaching. Because any miracle that happens after that means that that's not true. That the power of God is still moving. And what's crazy is people have stepped away from relationship with the Holy Spirit just from those teachings. The Bible doesn't say that that's the case. Jesus said, you will do greater things than I did. So clearly that's the Bible's stance on spiritual gifts, that we will be empowered with spiritual gifts to do greater things than even Jesus did. Some people don't know that it's available then to the spiritual gifts are available to you, to everyone. And that's what we believe here at View Church, that everyone in this room can have access to the spiritual gifts of God. What's also crazy is a lot of people have been put off by spiritual gifts just because of one gift. And you could think of that gift right now. What's the one gift that you go, you guys do that here? Really? The gift of tongues. People are so put off by it. Again, why would you ever say no to a gift from God? How has a man ever convinced you that God is a terrible gift giver? Yeah, I don't know about those tongues. They're like, God, what was he thinking? He's just weird, man. Have you ever thought of that? Here's the deal. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not less a Christian. Doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. But tongues is accessible to everyone because it's actually the least of the gifts. It's the first gift that we see in people's lives a lot of the time. Some people only get it later. I remember I trusted for tongues and only got months later. But you know what? It says when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. You strengthen yourself. But I remember being in a church service. And it was in Malpois Strand because we were in a very traditional church. And then my mom took me into service. And I heard somebody speaking in tongues. I was like, geez, that person's speaking like Hebrew. That's just weird. And I still remember, I thought it was weird because she had like a dookie around her head. And I thought, anyway, I had all this maths going on in my head. Like, why is she wearing a hat? But the deal is, so many people can be put off by the gift of tongues. But the Bible lists 27 different gifts. But we focus on one and we say, I don't know if I like the one, so I'm not going to be open to the 26th other gifts that the Bible lists. And that's just stupidity because God is a good gift giver. Of course, the Bible says we shouldn't avoid spiritual gifts, but we should desire them. And of course, some people have had a repulsive experience. But I just want to say this. It's a dangerous thing to go and criticize God's setup. Like, you know, start criticizing tongues. God, tongues. That's like a weird thing, because that's in the Bible. That happened. And it's still happening. So I think we need to rather just go, okay, God, you're a good God. I trust you. And I'm going to start taking steps and slowly going on this journey. Another reason for the confusion is that people think special gifts are only poured out in the Old Testament. God's Spirit worked through people. And so we've even got a picture where it's like the priests with the men of God. And once God came down and poured out His Spirit, some people actually started putting the church in a box. They said they're clergymen and lay people. And laymen are people who aren't in full-time ministry. So you guys might say, Andre, he's like the dude who works for the church and his gift's bigger than my gift. But that's actually not true. Because then all of a sudden we get the revelation that we're all a royal priesthood and that we're actually all on the same page. And I want to say this to you guys. When I walk in here, this isn't an irresponsible statement, but I do not walk in here going, I'm the senior guy here. I've never thought that. I do not think that thought. And I think if you guys ever get that from us, that's the worst thing you can do. Once I become a rock star, that's the dumbest thing, because then you start thinking that your gift is lower than mine. But I want to say to you, I see gifts on your guys' lives that are greater than mine. And I go, wow, you are awesome in that. And I don't say greater. We're all the same. But I see a maturity in your gift. I see that you've taken your gift and you've used it. And the church that makes the bishop and the apostle, and that's cool, call it out if that's your gift in your life. But when is that greater than anyone else's gift? When did it become greater? When have we not all just been children of God, saved by grace, empowered by the Holy Spirit? What has made my gift any better than yours? And I want to say this, if you can grab hold of what I just said, then you can pursue your gift. And not go, well, it's Andre's job. It's not. We're here together. There are business people. There are people sitting in these rows, and I can see you, you've got gifts in areas that I do not have. And when I see you moving your gifts, I just go, wow. I'm so glad they're here. This church would be terrible without them, because I can't do it by myself. But together, we can change this whole community. And if we can get that, we become powerful. So, of course, Jesus arrives on the scene. He looks at ordinary people and says, you be the light of the world. He says, you, all of us, you be the light of the world. Not those five guys, those four guys in full-time, those three girls in full-time ministry. No, you be the light of the world. And of course, then on the day of Pentecost, His Spirit was poured out on all the people. Joel's prophesied, my Spirit will be poured out on sons and daughters, on everyone, not just people in ministry, on everyone. Of course, then Jesus leaves and the church decides to hire people, and people get a wrong perception of what the church should be. And hopefully at View Church, this will be broken. That you'll see we're all in the same place. We all have got spiritual gifts from God that we should grow in and that we should move forward in. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Let's say that together. 1, 2, 3. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can. Everyone in this room has got a spiritual gift. But here's the deal. Your salvation is for you to get into heaven. But your spiritual gift is for someone else. You know, when people try to make they try to build their life in their spiritual gift, that's the danger, because you're saying your spiritual gift is there to give you purpose. It is. And meaning. It is there to give you purpose. Sorry. Your spiritual gift is there to give you meaning. It's like you saying my spiritual gift there is to give me identity. No. Your identity is that you are loved by God. You're called the beloved. So when you wake up every morning, the first thing you must say to yourself is that I'm the beloved. I'm loved. That's where your identity is. You're loved with no strings attached. Even if you did nothing for God, He loves you. Neither life nor death, nothing can separate you from Him. If you can settle and find your identity in being loved, the beloved, you will be loved. If you can be loved by God, you will be loved. We love because Christ loved us first. That's the simple rule. But then your spiritual gifts. The thing is, your spiritual gift is there for somebody else. It's there to bless other people. So here's a good definition. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives to each of His children so that together we can advance His purposes in this world. See, I want you to go after your spiritual gifts. It's one of the main purposes of you, church, is that you find it. And actually today in Growth Track 3, I'm going to do it straight after the second service, and then we're going to do it again at 5 p.m. today. Today's Growth Track 3, is all about your spiritual gifts. You actually do a personality assessment, a passion assessment, and then you do a spiritual gifts assessment. Today is the day. If you want to find out more about your spiritual gifts, you can join us straight after. It's at 12:15 after the second service, or at 5 p.m. before the 6 p.m., and we have childcare available. But at View Church, this is part of our goal, that you find your spiritual gifts. God has given His church answers to every conceivable problem on earth. The spiritual gifts are an expression of God's love for humanity. That's what this is. People say, how do I show God's love to the world? Use your spiritual gifts. Grow in them. Know them. Yeah. All of hell wants to keep the spiritual gifts God has given you hidden from you. And sometimes people get confused about them. I just want to say this. Spiritual gifts are not a natural talent. You need to hear it. Think about it. You might be gifted to sing or dance or naturally good with numbers, and you have natural talents. That's not your spiritual gifts, because those were what you were born with naturally. But when you get saved, you are born spiritually, and then you get spiritual gifts. You got natural gifts. Use them for God. Use them. Give God those gifts and use them and give Him glory. But your spiritual gifts are different to your natural gifts. So some people go, I don't serve in church because I don't see any of my natural gifts that I needed. We need your natural gifts, but we need your spiritual gifts even more, because when you use your spiritual gifts, the world sees God's love. Okay. And that's why you have to, I encourage you, give us your natural and then ask God to show you His spiritual, supernatural. So you take your natural and you take His super, and then you get supernatural, the supernatural church. So sing, be good with numbers, add it. But also find out about your spiritual gifts. The other thing, people go, well, I don't have patience, so I can't do that. Well, here's the deal. Spiritual gifts are not the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So sometimes you can say, I don't have the gift of love, Andre. I don't have the gift of patience. Those aren't spiritual gifts. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Everyone should be flowing in the fruits of the Spirit. Don't try to stop yourself from doing ministry because you say, I don't have the fruits. Get to God, become more patient, become more loving. But your spiritual gifts, you have to find out about. You need to grow in them. So I encourage you to understand your spiritual gifts. And I want to end with this, and I'm going to have the worship team up. You need to discover God's gifts for you. So discover the gifts God has for me. That's key. You have to go for it. You have to discover it. You know what's crazy was the first time I did a spiritual gifts assessment, I got my gifts. Once I had children, it's like everything changed. Like when we go on holiday, my wife wants to be spontaneous. I want to have everything planned to the minute. So we wake up, and you can imagine a holiday is. I ask the Anne, hey, babe, what do you want to do? Already with like 12 hours planned in my head. And I'm testing her to see if she's heard from God, because clearly I have. But she does not have that spiritual energy. But what's crazy is, and that's my personality assessment, but my spiritual gifts have changed as well. But so the more I can do the assessment again, and I've found out a lot about my spiritual gifts. So Romans 12 verse 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. And this is what I want you to understand is, The gift, the word for gift is charisma. You know when you people say, are you in a charismatic church? They think of a church like us. And they think it's happy clappy, hey? Yeah, I'm in a happy clappy church. That's not what charisma means. Charisma is gift. And charis is grace. So that's how you get charismatic. Do you get it? Okay. Charismatic is a church that believes that God has graced you with a spiritual gift. So yes, we are a charismatic church, but not in the happy clappy way. We're in the loud hurt your ears way. And Jack, no. I say that as a joke and we'll they have to take off the tape now. So are we charismatic? We don't use the term because there are many misconceptions about that. But if you go, yes, we are, because we believe God's graced you with a gift. So how do you discover it? You have to study your Bible. The Bible speaks about your spiritual gifts. Ask God to show you your gifts. And of course, take our spiritual assessment, our gift assessment, and growth track 3 today. If you can't make today, we've got a Saturday growth track from 9 to 11, and we do it in that. It's the first Saturday of every month. But we do that. If you are in our church and you haven't done growth track and you've been in our church for 10 years, do growth track. If you've been in our church for 1 week, do growth track. No matter how long you've been in our church, growth track will help you. Because again, you'll do a spiritual gift assessment and you'll find out your gifts, the grace gift, the charismatic gift in your life. People have said, oh, he's charismatic. It's personality. No, no. It's not personality. Charismatic is a person who's graced with a spiritual gift. So Psalm 139, 13 to 16 says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I'll praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I always say this, and I got this revelation when I was like 19, that God saw every day ahead of me. And while he was making me, of course, he's bigger than this, so I'm just getting a picture. While he looked at every day, he said, I'm going to put that in Andre, and then he's going to face that, I'm going to do that. He's going to be more than an overcomer, I'm going to put that in him. And he's going to show the world my love, I'm going to put that gift. And then that's in his hand. And so the deal is, in Christ, I can do all things. I'm more than a conqueror. There's nothing I can't get through without Jesus. But that's based on my mother's womb and how he put me together and the days he saw ahead of me. God has made you perfectly to face every day. And that's why I encourage you to look at why God made you. And it's so important that you look at how God made you, because if you look closely into how God made you, it will point you to what your life is all about. I want you to write this down. God's design in me reveals God's destiny for me. God's design in me reveals God's destiny for me. Your spiritual gift will reveal a lot about your destiny. God's design in me, and we can leave that up, reveals God's destiny for me. Second, last thing, develop the gifts God has given you. Once we discover them, use them. You'll see them develop over time. They'll mature and grow. But here's the deal. Because you have a spiritual gift, it doesn't make you any more mature, any better than other Christians. It just means you've used it more. So you know what happened when I was finding out my spiritual gifts? I just got involved in the church. I just got involved in the worship team. I got involved in the prayer meeting. And then I felt God say, do a year of your life. And I used to set up the auditoriums. I used to clean the place. I used to have the most hectic encounters packing chairs. Honestly, God would speak to me. I'd listen to worship. I'd get auditoriums ready. And God would just talk to me. And I got addicted to setting up auditoriums because I felt God speak to me more there. That's why I always encourage you. I'm not asking you to pack a chair because this church needs you to pack chairs. Sometimes I'm saying, why don't you set this auditorium up, put some worship on. You need it more than I need it. And you know what I found is when I serve God, he speaks to me. I grow on a need to know basis. But when you don't need to do anything, you don't really need God to speak to you about anything. When I started running a view group, God used to tell me about the people. I'd be praying for them. God said, speak, tell this person that. Oh, all of a sudden, Jish, wow, I never knew this kind of relationship was there for me. My life changed at 22. Just because I started to practice. And what happened was people, while I served, people started to see. And I always joke, like, who drops their phone a lot? Like me, hey? Anyone? I've got covers now. I've got the glass cover at the back. You know what I mean? But I've dropped my phone, and to break the fall, I've caught it with my foot. Anyone ever done that? Okay. So it's just basically stopping the fall. Listen, this phone's covered. But so you know what happens in church? Sometimes you're working with your hands, and then something falls, and you catch it with your foot, and they go, "Wow, you're really good with your feet." And then they go, "You know what it says? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You must be an evangelist." Anyway. That sounds cheesy, but that's actually what happens. While I was serving in the worship team, somebody said, "You know, God's got leadership for you." I was like, "You are smoking something." No, we're serious. And then the next guy said the same thing. Then I'm sitting in a view group, and we're doing it, and I'm just in a view group, and my leader points and says, "You know, Andre, God's got leadership for you." I'm like, whatever. But you know what happened was, I was doing my part, and other people started seeing stuff and fanning into flame and saying, "Hey, why don't you..." And next thing you know, I was involved at the church and I was running the youth, and I had to think back, geez, people were like speaking about this. I remember one lady, we were in a prayer meeting, and one lady came to me and says, "You're going to be a Pied Piper of young people. Young people are going to follow you down the road. And you're going to..." And I never knew. I was just singing. 2 years later, I was a youth pastor, and all of a sudden the youth exploded and we had hundreds of teens. But honestly, I never had worked with a teen before. It was just something that God had given me, a grace gift. See, here's the deal. A lot of people run into me from school days. And I was not the greatest, you know what I mean, like school student. I need to repent. But a lot of people try to evaluate what I'm doing now based on my school life. But you must understand, that was my natural. And this is my supernatural. And so you can't evaluate natural and supernatural. So they don't get it. Why are you doing this? You don't get it. Once you get saved, you get the gift of salvation. And then you get the gift of the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you get spiritual gifts. So you understand? You can't try to evaluate my life on my natural. You have to find out about my supernatural God, who by His grace gave me a gift that I didn't deserve. Some of you are trying to do your marriage on your natural, but your marriage needs your supernatural. Some of you are trying to parent on your natural, but your kids need your supernatural. Some of you are trying to do business on your natural, but your business needs your supernatural. Some of you are trying to do friendship and life and relationship on your natural, but it needs your supernatural. You need to pursue the best, the grace gifts that God's got for you. It's grace. He decides. Come on. We need to open up our hearts. And lastly, use them. Just like I said, the gifts aren't about us. They're about other people. They're not random. They're part of God's master plan. 1 Peter 4 verse 10. God has given gifts to each of you from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God can generously flow through you. The real joy to life is not about making a lot of money. But hey, money's not bad. Hey, people say money isn't the key to happiness. But I'm sure if you got enough, you could maybe make a key. Hey, anyway. But let's face it. It doesn't bring all the joy to life. Real joy does not come from going on vacation, on holiday, but holidays are good. Real joy doesn't come from having things, but some things are really cool. Real joy comes from knowing your life is productive and it has a purpose. That's my life. And that's what I hope your life would be about. Our lives are about living for eternity. And I promise you, the happiest people are the people who are living with a purpose and eternity in mind. I promise you, it's a fact. Those are the happiest people. And God has already put the gifts inside of you to live that life. But it's just to switch now, going, I've got all I need in Christ. Now I need to look out. He's given me the gift of salvation. He's empowered my life. But He's also given me gifts for other people. If you're a church, we do growth track. We want you to grow in your relationship with God, know God. We want you to find freedom. And the way you do that is through connecting with God through the word and prayer and connecting with other Christians through view groups. The third thing we do is we want you to discover your spiritual gifts. And the fourth thing we do is we want you to make a difference. We are change lives through that process, changing lives with that same process. That's why we always talk about Growth Track. That's why we always talk about View Group. Because I know the happiest people are the people who discover their purpose and destiny.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.